Hey everybody, this is Zero, and I'm back again for my third AMA, Ask Me Anything. And when I made this post about 10 days or so ago, I did it to mainly celebrate that I've reached 1,600 plus followers. And also just as a nice milestone as well to celebrate the fact that I've been here within the GWA community for just over a year. And of course, as it is always when it comes to my AMA, is mainly to just give you all the listeners a nice quiet moment just to talk and just hear my normal voice, you know, no characters, no lewd stuff. But within that time frame, since I've made that post and making some more content for everybody, I've actually ballooned from 1,600 to 1,800 plus followers. So, wow. All I can say is thank you so much, listeners, for coming to just to enjoy my content. That's quite honestly all I can really say. Thank you so much for liking my audios, those of you who come for the audios, those of you who might be here just for the scripts, thank you as well. I'm sorry for those of you who might be wanting more scripts. I am trying. I've sadly been dealing with a really bad bout of writer's block, but it's a kind of writer's block where the ideas are clearly there. I have plenty I want to write. It's just, I just can't get it put down onto, I quote, paper. And especially now with the whole recent Pastebin debacle, it's a lot more demoralizing as well. And I still have to find the motivation to transfer all my remaining scripts over to Archive of Our Own, or maybe write.as. But please, those of you who are hoping for more scripts, there's plenty of scripts coming, hopefully. And for those of you, there's still, and of course, there's always going to be Mon Girls for you all, and so don't worry. But yeah, thank you, everyone, for coming and enjoying my content. I honestly could not ask for any more awesome listeners and fans. So how about we get this show started then, shall we? Or I suppose it is. So let's get to the questions here. So first, comments here from an order, from Priest of Aphrodite. Congratulations, brother. Well, not a question, but words of encouragement and congratulations are always welcome. Thank you, Priest. Thanks a lot for always being there, behind the scenes and, encouraging me to try other things, giving me sound effects whenever I feel like I need them. You're a great help, and you've, quite honestly, I feel like you've kind of become a sort of really good watchdog figure for the community itself, trying to keep a clamp down on a lot of drama, and I'd love to do some work with you. You know full well my door is always open for collabs, so if you ever have a script open, you know, give me a call, dude. You know my DMs are always open, you know what other methods to reach me, so, you know, feel free, I'm always willing to work. So yeah, thanks a lot, Priest. I really appreciate you, brother. Thanks a lot, man. Next set of questions or comments from Mag the Mage. Congratulations on this new milestone. Hey, well, thank you. Thank you very much, Mag. Honestly, all the questions asked here are great, but if you still haven't recorded the AMA, well, I am now. Sorry, it's taken forever. I'd like to add two more questions. How do you come up with all the lore / world building in your audios? Do you create the boy first and then the lewd, or is it the other way around? How I come up with the lore? The main inspiration for it is because I base at least some of the dynamics of the world building with my Mon Boys and my Monster Girls as well. I base it off the anime and manga series known as Monster Musume no Nichiro. I believe that's how it's pronounced, but everyone just knows it as Monster Musume, and that's pretty much it. Because in that anime and manga, it's all Monster Girls are, and Demi Humans as well, not just Monster Girls, but, you know, obviously you got the males involved as well. They're definitely more prevalent, and they're a lot more accepted by modern day standards. But as you would expect, you know, as, even in the manga, there's always going to be friction. So I like to base a little bit on that as a basis for my own world building for the lore. But most of the time, what I really base a lot of my Monster Boy content specifically usually is off of mythology. Namely, you know, the most obvious ones, Greek, Norse, you know, things of that nature. But usually what ends up coming first is mainly a species of Mon Boy that I want to do. And then I work out what kind of personality they would have. And thus, depending on what the personality, what kind of voice I'd try to give them. Because as much as everyone wants to, you know, could maybe even say, oh, you maybe only have like 5 voice range. And I suppose maybe that could be true in my case. But every character themselves is unique, not just to their species, but to their own personality, you know. Like with Kidan, the moth boy, everyone knows him as the shy, quiet boy with the higher pitch voice. And everyone just like, you're my light. I don't really know how to feel about this and things like this sort of situation, you know. And then you can have another character like my incubus Niren, who has, you know, another high-pitched voice, but he's a lot more confident and animated in how he projects himself because of the fact that, you know, being an incubus, he's, you know, a lot more open, and because he himself is, well, he's a little slut, you know, he's a lot more forward with things like, honey, why are you just so shy? It's not all that difficult. I just love humans so much. You know, it's, you have things like that, but most of the time when it comes to the lewd, I base it a lot off the off the species of what I decide to use. So, like, with Kidan, you know, being a moth, a lot of the lewd and a lot of the underutilized things when it comes to moths that I see in the few instances where moth demi-humans are used, they have obvious things. They can have a long tongue, possibly, you know, via the proboscis that some moth species obviously have. Or, as I like to do with Kidan, antenna. You know, I like to use antenna play, since a lot of insects, you know, use their antennas as a way to feel around the world, and it's literally sometimes connected to their brain. Literally is connected to their brain. So, like, with Kidan, you know, when he gets his antennas touched, or when he touches people with them, or when he gets them pulled, it, you know, it literally hurts. But at the same time, also, he kind of enjoys it, because he's a little masochist. But, you know, and then also things like maybe sexual positions, I base it as well off of some aspects of the species I'm using. Like, if I'm doing, say, maybe, you know, the most easy to go to, if you're doing a wolf based, or a dog, or an okami based, or a dog based demi human, everyone usually expects, of course, their favorite position is going to be doggy style. You know, so you go with things like that, but otherwise, you know, depending on what certain things you can do, you can just use the lewd itself more as a direction of how to interpret a personality with a demi-human. And with my Mon Boys, it's always completely different. Like, even, like, with Elwood, you know, his favorite position technically would be, technically doggy style, but mostly it would be prone, because the way, amphibians mate, frogs and toads, is, in a way, it's kind of like a prone position. The male gets on top of the female and wraps his legs right around her hips and basically squeezes. And, that position is called, well, I wouldn't even say position, but at least the mating process between amphibians is called amplexus. So the best way to interpret that as a demi-human for a toad or a frog character is, of course, well, prone. So things of that nature is, but most of the time, I like to base the world building a lot on how the world realistically would react in that sort of thing. I mean, obviously, you know, if demi-humans just came out right now, you know, a good portion of the population would be like, yes, yes, finally, we have the cat girls. Give me the Keats and his kid. We want to fuck them all, please. Let come over here. We want to fuck all the demi-humans, please. But obviously, you know, the way humans, you know, normally would react, obviously, would be very, very apprehensive, very scared. Humanity itself, as you know, it's afraid and it attacks what it doesn't understand. And so I implement bits and pieces of that sort of, I quote, realism into my characters. So you have characters like Ava, you know, who has, with the world building with him, it's, you have a lot more believable aspect of how he's treated very poorly by humans. But then, just like in reality, you know, humanity can hate somebody for something as trivial as skin color, hate somebody as trivial as ideology, faith, or even just because somebody said something off. And so, like with Ava, I made it a lot more believable in the fact that, you know, you have these completely weird looking entities that live here, and now they're intermingling with humans. You have this friction, and it's not coming just from the human side, it's coming from their own side as well. So, like, again, with Ava, they're, you know, his family is very very anti-human, but, you know, Ava himself has been curious. He's wanted to be with humans, well, maybe not be with, but he's at least been curious enough to want to be around them, to learn more. And then, as you can see with his audio, he ended up falling in love, in essence, with a human. And, you know, then there's other trademarks to a personality. It's also based off the species that they're meant to be, like, you know, then that's when you have things like unique things that a few of my listeners are interested in. The junk of some of my monster boys, like with Jormund, my Naga, the Yandere Snek, the shy crazy noodle. He's, you know, he's got just as in nature with actual snakes, they got two dingles. So with Jormund, he's got two dicks too. You know, so you have aspects and things like that happening, you know, and like some species could technically be monogamous, like Ava, because owls do mate technically for life with their mates, you know. So that's why Ava, despite all how badly he's been hurt by you, I quote, or listener in this case, you know, why he's still can't let her go, because of that innate nature of owls, that they are monogamous no matter what happens to them. And I think even in some cases they've noticed in wildlife studies where an owl will lose their mate and they would never again would go and look for another mate. They would remain a loner for the rest of their life. And sometimes, you know, just like with humans, you know, some humans, when they have a really bad breakup, they decide to be loners for the rest of their life. It applies as well. So there's a lot more. I like to focus more or less on the overt difference aspect when it comes to a monster boy, and more on the actual believable human side of them. It's probably why so many people had the reaction with Elwood, my toad boy. A lot of people really liked how he was just so uniquely different, because he felt so human in a way. So I guess I hope those answers well enough your questions, but it's usually, as I said, it's based a lot on mythology and the species that I'm working on, and then what traits from said species can be applied either from common known tropes of that species or things known of mythology because of that species. So I hope that's a good explanation for you, Mags. So I hope that answers your questions. Next question by F. Geese. Are you able to sing songs from the Ink Spots or the Mill Brothers? And I did look up your recommendations. You gave me Ink Spots We Three and Mill Brothers Till Then. I actually ended up remembering that I think I actually used to sing quite a few couple songs with my old man, usually on drives. We had this old CD of like old crooners and things like that, like Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and I'm fairly certain a few of the tracks on that CD that we still like to listen to sometimes whenever I'm driving with my pops was Mel Brothers. But I tried listening to the Inxbox ones. I think at least the quality I heard, they were pretty high up there. I mean, I sometimes do get a little bit high up, but I'll try to do the Mill Brothers one for you. Hopefully not too long, but let me try here. All right. Till then, my darling, please wait for me till then. No matter when it will be someday, I know I'll be back again. Please wait till then. Our dreams we'll live through, we're apart, our love. I know we'll keep in our hearts till then. When all the world will be free, please wait for me. There are oceans we must cross, and mountains we must climb. I know every gain must have a loss, so pray that our loss is nothing but time. Till then, let's dream of what there will be till then. We'll call on each memory till then. When I hold you again, please wait till then. So there you go, Geese. I hope that was good enough for your request. I'm sorry if I didn't sing the whole song, but I'm not entirely focused on singing that right now. But I hope that was more than enough, though, for you. So, and those of you, hey, you if you wanted to hear Zero sing horribly again, there you go. You got to hear me sing horribly. So next one. From Amanda Banana 0404. When you're trying to think of smart questions but currently am on like 12 milligrams of melatonin, fuck. Well, I can sympathize. But then you actually asked a legitimate question. Do you chat with people in your DMs? Like, are they open? Yes, I do. I do love chatting with my listeners. I like to keep myself as personable and approachable as much as I possibly can for my listeners, either for something as simple as just saying hello or saying a thank you for hitting the follow button. And I feel that while I do understand for a lot of performers that can't always be the case, especially for girl performers, they always got to worry about, you know, their listeners kind of getting a little bit too familiar and then just start spamming them. So I understand why some choose not to, but I personally feel that you need to, in this kind of community as well, you need communication, not just between your listeners, but also between other fellow performers as fellow writers as well. So I try to keep my DMs open as much as I can, either for something as simply saying hello, allowing a listener maybe to just have somebody to vent to, even if I don't say anything beyond, hey, just, you know, say what the hell you ever want to say. I'll nod my head if I need to. And then otherwise, you know, just to, as well, just to get, requests, suggestions, or scripts that you think, you among the fan base I would fit well for, or even recommend other performers for me to possibly collab with, or even maybe a mentor, possibly, if you feel like I'm good enough for that. I don't know about that, but it's always nice to be able to speak with my listeners. A lot of people, I'm sure, have always suggested, at least if I keep my DMs open, then why don't you just do something further, like maybe have a Discord? I would, but as much as I love my listeners, don't get me wrong, I like to have my personal time, and having a Discord, even for that purpose, would, I feel, be too much time sink for me, and so I still do need my me time and my privacy, so please don't take it the wrong way that I don't want to talk to anybody. It's also just because I need to get away too. I'm not some celebrity. I'm just a guy moaning into a microphone for you all, and I'm only human as well, so I do need to have time by myself. But my DMs are always open, though, for anybody who feels they could just message me, just to even say thank you for the audios. They make me feel like I needed something, words of encouragement, or even if you just want to vent or give me a recommendation for a script or ideas maybe for a possible Monster Boy, or just a regular audio request in general. I don't mind that at all. So, and you already found out as well that I ended up saying hello to you as well, Amanda. So yes, my DMs are always open. So, next set of questions, a good amount, by Kuro Chamomile. Hi, Zero. Hi, Kuro. Kuro Cam. I'll have to differentiate because I know another one. As a new fan / president of the Kidon fan club, I am so excited that you're doing an AMA. Well, I hope it's not too late. I'm sorry it took so long. I've been so swamped with everything for the holidays, so I hope this is more than enough for you. It is really amazing how in touch you are with your fans. Not a lot of VAs do that. So here are my questions. Number one, imagine a world without anime. Please, God, no. Gosh, who would want that? Who is best girl, aka who is your non-2D waifu? My non-2D waifu. My non-2D waifu, I would have to throw that to maybe, Hidori Rose. I put that to Hidori Rose because that cosplayer is, oof, just the way that girl does cosplays is just, oh, and Ambigo's also that she does, not safe for work content as well, and she puts a lot of effort into her content as well, like even doing like dialogue bubbles. I mean, she, I would say when it comes to doing the voices for the character she cosplays, not the best. She sadly is a victim of where she grew up. I think she's Eastern European, maybe. I'm not too sure where she's from, but she, her voice is cute though. At least, you know, when she's moaning, at least. But when she tries to do actual dialogue and talking, like the accent's like, oh. I get why you at least use the text for when you do a video of a certain character like Ruby or something. But I would say her, because I honestly say I don't like any modern celebrity more than, you know, act in the movie. Don't give me your personal opinion, please. You know, because most celebrities now, if you go on to horror places like Twitter or something, you see they're so much vitriol towards their audience, and then just sometimes for horrible, completely petty reasons how they attack an audience. So I would just have to go more for ironically a cosplayer who does porn. And she's also very nice as well, from what I saw. She likes to keep relatively in contact with her listeners. She makes a little streams every now and then, answering questions from here to here. So those of you who maybe need a recommendation for a lewd cosplayer, there you go. Hidori Rose. There's a really good one. She's real good. And if anything, hey, if any of you ended up giving her Patreon or something, hey, just tell them a lewd voice acting porn Gundam recommended you to her. And maybe direct her towards me, please. I would love to talk to Hidori. She's really cool. Two, what is your favorite thing about the GWA community, and what is your least favorite thing / what would you change? My favorite thing about it is the... I would say it's the more relative creative freedom that you have when it comes to your audios. You can make an audio virtually about anything. I mean, minus the obvious ones, you know, like snuff, obviously underage stuff. I get it, I know, but it just seems a little bit, I won't say hypocritical, but kind of self-defeating when you start limiting people in that way. But I understand they're trying to protect the community in some shape and form from whatever possible ramifications. But, you know, it's also just weirdly contradictory, you know, because they want to say, we don't kink shame here, and yet you limit certain kinks. It's kind of weird. But the main thing I dislike about GWA would be the drama that ends up coming out every once in a while. And I feel that is a very... I don't want to say bad or anything. It's more... It's less helpful than it would seem to be, maybe in the short term. And that drama, unfortunately, sadly, ends up causing things like performers to leave the community, either from their own fans or maybe some Karen who wants to soapbox to a performer or somebody else wanting to tell other performers how they create their content for whatever arbitrary reasons. I personally, the way I see it is we make content for free, most of us. We shouldn't need to worry about such drama as this. The other thing I would at least like to change would be, sadly it would be out of my control, is the just the demographical share of things, because we're mainly a sub that's, because it's porn related, we tend to be more male oriented heavily. And I would like to see more of a balance for that, you know, but of course it's kind of its own thing because the female audience itself is, in comparison to the male audience, so much smaller in comparison. A lot of male voice actors have to fight for the audience attention of the lady listeners out there. So it's kind of sad when, you know, a lot of male voice actors can go unrecognized and completely just ignored because maybe a lot of the new users coming in just don't know how to use the tag system, or they're just only coming here for very specific voice actors. They're not exploring. So a lot of content goes unrecognized or unlistened by both sides of the audience, men, women, and everything else in between. And they don't get the recognition they deserve for the really intriguing content that so many performers make. So I don't know how I would go about changing that outside of maybe having like more events, perhaps. I wouldn't be so sure on how it is. It's also probably a part of my own fault because I tend to keep to myself mostly. But there's that. But mainly the drama is what something I would wish would I dislike the most and could change. Number three. What are my thoughts on the inclusivity / lack thereof in the GWA community? Do you think voice actors should put more thoughts into diverse audios just like you do? My thoughts on inclusivity about the GWA community. I would say it's technically always been there. You know, there's plenty of voice actors here that are all different sizes. They're all different sizes, all different shapes, and plenty of writers as well. Some of my favorite performers, ironically, are black girls, or women of color, if you want me to use that term. But they just don't make it so much of their content. You know, it is part of who they are, but it's not primarily what it is. Because how exactly can you make something more inclusive than just literally making most of the time by a performer's standards at least, your content as neutral as you can be. You don't make any mention of skin tone. You don't make any mention of eye color, at least not a specific color, you know, to alienate any possible listeners. As for whether there should be more of it, of course, there should always be more of it. I try my best every now and then to make content for as many aspects of my audience. I'm sorry if I feel for a lot of you I haven't focused more on other aspects of my audience as well. But the other problem as well is that comes with making content for niche facets of the audience is the unfortunate expectation that there will be backlash towards them for making something as sincere as a simple, like, best example, like with what happened with Dusk. He, from what I've heard, you know, he made a normal audio that just happened to be a swirl content, interracial, for those of you who don't know the term swirl. And he got a lot of backlash for it, and then I saw some of the things that I was watching behind the scenes from other people giving me information, bits and pieces that I could figure out. The way people were talking about him on Twitter, calling him an ally, I find that language very, very dehumanizing, because you're not being an ally by making an audio specifically geared towards a specific audience. You're just making an audio. You're entertaining, and that's how I view it. I don't do this because I'm an ally. I do an audio that's interracially focused because I genuinely am attracted to black women. I don't feel like I need to proselytize anything. I do it because I love the things that I love, and that's honestly the only reason that any sort of audio geared or whatever audience niche should even be there for. It should be just because you actively love that part of your audience, either quite literally because you love them for the sake of physicality, or even just emotionally. You should just do it because it's just what you want to do. Nobody should be forcing performers or writers to make that content. It should be done because they just want to make the content, and because content is made just because you want to make it, it has more draw, it has more, I guess you could say, authenticity in how a performer can do it. When you can clearly tell when a performer thoroughly enjoys the subject matter that they're doing, because you can tell in how their performance is just so genuinely done, you know, and how that works. So, but in general, yes, there should be more, but it shouldn't be forced. It should be done just as it is and how it should always be. It might sadly sucks because it might be rare, especially now with how the recent events are, and a lot more voice actors and writers might end up feeling more apprehensive to make such content, because you either get the backlash like what happened to Dusk, and they end up destroying their entire catalogs, and or you end up having the results and that maybe they weren't, oh, you did your content wrong, you know, and that feels very, very destructive towards a performer. And what that does to them, not so much just their self-esteem, but also just as the creator, like they especially for those who go out of their way to really go put the nine yards and effort into an audio, you know, for sound effects, music, and then they get that sort of reaction, and those voice actors and decided end up having the other result of that. Instead of just destroying everything out of fear of backlash, they end up deciding, you know what, screw it, I'm never going to make this kind of content again. Because all I make this and I'm treated horribly, and everyone's being completely completely attacking me and being ungrateful that I made content, you know, from my heart. And well, so why bother making content for this part of the audience if they're gonna act like this? You know, it's the unfortunate thing that happens. And as I said, it's Part of the thing that I don't like about GWA is the unfortunate drama that comes with it. So I would say those are my thoughts on it. 4. I recently listened to your story time with Zero. As a person who also grew up in the ghetto, what are your thoughts on the N-word and who should get a pass? You always get a pass in my heart, Zero. Well, thank you, Kuro Cam. Thank you. My thoughts on the N-word. It's a horrible word. I understand it. And I've been with partners of darker skin, and they were into race play and they wanted me to say it. And I still said it because I want to please my partner, obviously. But personally, I feel the way I treat the whole concept of N-words is not just N-words, but in terms of just derogatory words in general, I feel the same way as I treat it like comedy. Either everything is on the table or none of it is. And I know some people would say, oh, that's a very, very simplistic way to think about it. It might be simplistic, but at the same time, that's almost, you're never sadly going to get rid of human nature. It's just how it is. If you get rid of one group entirely in the world, another group will hate someone for the most arbitrary of reasons. And it becomes foolishness to harp on so much and something is so, as much as I would hate to say it, as I quote, small as a word, I know, but making such something like that, like the N-word, so trivial is sounds almost very heartless. But I feel like if you cannot be better as a person, stronger as a person, that one being called a word that you know you're not, not because it's referring to just your skin or anything, but because it's calling you something that you know you're not, like an idiot or something, then why? It shouldn't affect you. It's just a word. All it should do at the end of the day is just like, okay, that's not what I am. I don't know what the hell you're on about, freaking weirdo racist. Okay, whatever. Have a good day or not. I don't give a fuck. But honestly, if it was up to me, I would honestly just put the entire world in an entire Xbox Live server and make everybody call each other every single derogatory word in the entire Urban Dictionary that we have available and just burn it out until everybody doesn't have anything else to say. And then we're just like, oh, well, then we called everybody every other word in the English language. Well, shit, what do we do now? All right, fucking, let's go have some fun. Let's go fuck each other. That would be my approach to it. 5, how do you approach your work in creating such an immersive Monster Boy audio? Do you write a whole script for yourself or do you have a checklist? I love the quintessential Zero audio aspects, like example, you're pretty for a human, I'm not that cute, this is my first time with a human, etc., etc. How do you come up with the whole social construct / hierarchy of the monster human relationship? I guess this goes back to Mags's question, but mostly, as I said, I base a lot of the social construct and hierarchy of the monster-human relationship a lot on Monster Musume, you know. So, as I said, the demi-humans are a lot more prevalent, they establish themselves a lot easier, so they're not as exotic a thing to where people go, oh my god, look, there's a Lamia there. Like, it's still gonna be a thing because it's a hot girl with a snake lower body. You're gonna look at it. But it's I do technically end up having a checklist. I don't really do scripts for any of my Mon Boys. It's all improv off the top of my head most of the time. But there is a bit of a checklist on mainly species to remember what a character is, personality, accent, and then basically what basic plot points I'm gonna do, mainly A, B, and C, and then of course the lewd aspects in my checklist. I do that all off the top of my head, and there ironically is a decent amount of planning that goes into a Monster Boy audio, mainly on the conceptual aspect of it. So there's that. But no, most of the time I don't ever write an entire script, except for unless I'm doing something more ambitious, like say, the The Interstellar Adventures of Trigger and Addy. For that one, I had to write a script, mainly because of the fact that it was meant to be a collab. So my co-star, Flirty Fawn 696, go check her out. Great, great lewd voice actress. And you all never know. She might end up being an anime because she has a great vocal range. And for those of you also wondering, she's also a Black creator. And she is incredible with not just her voice capabilities for her own characters, because she's just like me in that aspect as a demi-human focused creator. She makes her own characters, and she does her absolute best, and her editing also is just absolutely amazing. You some of you probably know her as one of my favorite characters, Reina, the Godzilla girl. She's the main girl. She's the main waifu of that series. So, you know, it's things like that. So things like, it's where I have to do, where I need a co-star, like with the Flirty Fawn, I would need a script to write it out for their line so they know how to do it. So there would be, that's one of the few times that a script would have to, I'd have to write it out. And also just for me, just to remember the lines, because even though I'm good with my improv, I still end up forgetting what my lines are after a while. Even though I remember, do it all off the top of my head. But there's how it is. Let's see. I hope that one answers your question. Number 6. What are your thoughts on the Pornhub/Pastebin debacle, and what is an ideal zero lewd world? My thoughts on the Pornhub/Pastebin debacle. Pornhub completely fucking retarded. That's how you kill the website. I mean, the biggest draw about Pornhub was a lot of the amateur stuff that doesn't have to be purified. Now that everybody's a goddamn blue check, it's basically just like, it's almost like modern day Twitter. You know, you're doing the worst thing you can do. You're mainstreaming porn. And while yes, there are some accounts that are still technically amateur that do what they do, and they're still verified, that ends up becoming its own problem, because now it's verified also just means that, oh, this is where I'm going to have to get the paid content. It's all going to be the short shit. I can't enjoy the full stuff, you know? So that causes people to migrate away from to the other porn sites. And as for Pastebin, completely, completely fucking insulting what they've done. I mean, I'm pretty sure a good amount of people who uses Pastebin were from here, you know? And it was a great format. And selling us down the river just for their advertisers, sadly, is par for the course for a lot of websites. A lot of them are just trying to sell their goddamn ads, get their AdSense. But all I can say is we're a very resourceful community. And from what I saw, at least with the Pastebin screwing quite a lot of creators over, not just myself, but quite a few, because I'm lucky enough that my scripts were manageable in number, but some creators were just completely fucked over. There were some who have way more than I do. So I'm over 100 plus scripts, and they can't either access them, look at them, or some cases they're just completely deleted and gone. They can't even get it back through the Wayback Machine, so they're completely fucked. So it's stupid all around. This crusade against lewd creators has to stop. Not just lewd creators, but just creators in general. All these platforms that build themselves up on the backs of their creators, then turning around and stabbing these very same creators in the back, it's not helpful. We need to exist too, just like Michael Jordan would probably say, hey, Republicans buy my shoe suit. Hey, everybody jacks off. You know, so we need a place to exist as well for ourselves. And my ideal zero lewd world, monster girls everywhere. Nobody gives a shit. Fuck whatever you want. Fuck whoever you want. Minus the crazy stupid shit. Like, don't be a goddamn pedophile, please. Don't fuck the animals unless it's a demi-human. For the love of God, don't fuck a dog. Don't fuck your cat. Don't fuck the cows. Don't fuck the horses. Now, if you want to fuck a centaur, hey, I'm still going to look at you a little weird, but hey, have at it, man. That would be my lewd world. 7. Do you have any plans to make your own music for your audios? The music is always a highlight of your audios. You sure know how to pick them. Any plans to transition into a full-fledged musical porn Gundam? If I had the musical capability to do so, I would. It's why I'm actually very jealous of creators like Beyonce is a Virgo. Because she makes most of the time her own content. But if I had the capability, I used to be a lot more musically inclined. I used to play a lot more instruments, but sadly, over the years, I've gotten so incredibly rusty. But if I was able to, yes, I would love to create my own music a lot of the time. But unfortunately, I can't. I mean, I'll still do musical singing covers every now and then when I'm bored or maybe get drunk out of my ass. But nah, there's sadly no plans for musical porn Gundam stuff outside of maybe song covers. But I'm sorry. Number 8. What are your top 3 personality turnoffs on a girl? Hypocrisy is for one. You know, like, you want to say something, oh, this is totally shit, but then you end up doing the very same shit, and then you try to mental gymnastics it. Arrogance in the aspect of, like, thinking you're clearly better than what you know you are. And then also just, quite honestly, just being an all-around bitch to people. Nobody likes that about people. You know, it's a big turnoff for anybody. So, I guess those would be it. 9. Some questions about the super underrated date series. A. You have said that it's the series that is the most you. Lake Cal's confession was so emotional. How much of it was true? You don't have to answer if it's too private. How is Zero's love life? I'll say that's private. at least on the fact that my love life is just as anybody else's. Tumultuous and just what it is. Tumultuous, has its ups, has its downs. Everyone has one, or lack of one sometimes. It's just what they is, what the love life is. As for how much Lake House Confession is, how much of it was me? I would say it's about 85% close to real life experience. Just certain details obviously are changed, but most of the story that the boyfriend tells in Lake House Confession is, for all intents and purposes, lifted straight from my own life. So that's how much me it is. And yeah, that's basically what it was. C. What was the hottest cosplay that a girl has ever done for you? Well, if done for me specifically, that would have to be Dark Magician Girl. that would have to be Dark Magician Girl. Yeah, at least, again, for me specifically. Now, if they, like, from my experience with cons, different story. They didn't necessarily do it for me, but I got to enjoy them in the cosplays. So I'll leave that for now. Since you're at least done for me specifically, it was Dark Magician Girl. 10. Describe your perfect first date. What kind of restaurant do you usually take girls to? I take them to a buffet. I don't really like the whole concept of just really going crazy with your price tags. You know, if you want to take a girl to eat, you know, unless your budget, you know, you got to take her to Taco Bell or McDonald's or something. Eh, I mean, I get it, you know, especially now times are tough. Take her to a buffet, you know, because it's a real nice atmosphere and you don't need to worry about, you know, ordering it right. You don't got to order in whatever language if you decide to go fancy. Like, a buffet is a buffet. You get to enjoy all the food you want and enjoy the time you want with who you went out with. So I would say go to a buffet. And a perfect date would be taking a chick out to get some food, probably at a buffet. Maybe go watch a movie or something. And then maybe play some video games or talk some shit. And if, you know, if things click, maybe some sexy time. You know, that'd be a perfect date for me. So, yeah, there's the perfect date for me. Describe the perfect outfit / makeup and hairstyle on a girl. Perfect outfit, makeup. I don't know. There's just so many outfits that girls just look so fucking sexy in. So, I can't really say. Hair-wise, at least I would say nothing overtly too short. Like, no pixie cuts all that much, please. I mean, I like tomboys, but I don't like them that tomboy. Because I like to stroke my fingers through hair, you know? So, If you at least have hair enough for me to run my fingers through, I'm happy hair wise most of the time. But like, if it's like pixie cuts, like, no, not really, no. That's a bit of a turn off for me. But if outfit wise, I don't know. I don't know. I would say look up maybe Raven's outfit from, I think it was the one of the more recent animated DC Teen Titans movies. I think it was Judas Precept, I think. Judas Contract, something like that. Raven wore like this nice outfit. I would say either that or outfit wise and here, well, just look up Azure Lane St. Louis party dress. If you want, to me, what would be like the hottest outfit ever, look that up and you'll see what I mean. You'll definitely all see what I mean. 12. What are my thoughts on the Wheezy Boy genre? When is Wheezy BF coming back? Well, I apparently created the Wheezy Boy genre as a thing, so my thoughts are I like it, and it's I wouldn't mind making more of it. If there are more scripts that involve Wheezy Boys, please feel free to send them my way. I'd love to fill them. But otherwise, as for Wheezy BF, at least the very specific one you're thinking of, it would sadly, we might have to wait a while, at least for that specific Wheezy BF to make a comeback, mainly because it's based mostly as a kind of alternate universe thing of somewhat those same characters off of Beyonce's Avergo's cheerleader script series. So it's mostly dependent on B finally making part 3 to the cheerleader stuff. So because the way I did my universe is that it's still the same characters. They still ended up hooking up together, but unlike in B's series where they hook up in high school on senior year, they hooked up in college. So there was a lot more separation there, and a lot of the references to B's series comes via the form of Listener having dreams about what could have been, whereas that could have been is actually more B's script, where it's more of its own alternate reality where they did hook up earlier. So it's a nice back and forth, you know. So like, which universe is more, I guess, enticing for you? In this aspect, is it B's version of that universe where they hooked up in high school, or is it my alternate universe where they hooked up when they're older? You know, so there's a lot for things, but I'd love to do more Wheezy Boy BF. So if you have any ideas, at least maybe as other Wheezy Boys or whatever, I can still do more. So feel free to send me your recommendations. I'd love to do them, or if you find scripts that involve Wheezy Boys, great, power to you, give them to me. I'd love to fill them. Okay, 13. If suddenly Reddit does a purge of lewd audios and only 3 VAs can be saved, as in their content remains and they could continue to make audios, which 3 would you save? I would save maybe Aural Illusions. I know she ended up deleting her old account, but she's under a new name now. I think it's Collared Aural, or Aural Collared, something like that. I would definitely save Aural Illusions, because that woman, Jesus Christ, she knows how to do the suave, cougarish, like the perfect cougar voice. And also just like the good mommy GF for everybody who wants a mommy GF. But also just the way Aural does some of her moans is just, oh my god. Crown of Violet, because we need our resident Mon girls. We need our resident Mon girl there. And she's got a great sultry voice. And just the great, really great just giggles. Violet's awesome. And I guess just for the sake of for everybody, maybe I'd save so much more than just 3, but if anything, I guess for the sake of veterans purposes, maybe Belle in the Woods or maybe Skitty. They all make good audios, but definitely also as well, I put Beyonce, because she does great work with her editors as well are just really good, and also the fact that she makes her own music as well, it helps sell a lot of the ambience for people. So, yeah, those would at least be like the 3 or 5 I would save. 14. Can you give us some tips on how to stay sane in quarantine and how to adjust to the new normal? How to stay sane in quarantine? learn skills that you never thought you would learn. I would say, you know, like, read something that you've never usually would have read, like, read Lovecraft, read Edgar Allan Poe, read books on philosophy. You'd be surprised. And again, just learn a new skill. You know, you just go on YouTube and just say how to do this, and you'd be surprised how many videos there are on how to do that. And you'd be surprised how easily you can get into something like that if you are capable of. And as for getting used to the new normal, how to adjust to it, don't accept it. This new normal is bullshit. I want real normal to come back. I hate wearing a mask. I hate the fact that I don't even wear it because I'm afraid of the goddamn coof. I hate wearing the mask because I can't do shit if I don't fucking wear it. Even more when I go to someplace like a restaurant. Like, I am going to eat and I still need to take my mask off to eat. What is the fucking point of a mask at that point when I need to take it off to eat? And at the same time, this new normal of people's businesses shutting down, people locked the hell up in their house, going crazy, suicide rates going up. It's not acceptable. Nobody should adjust to this. It should be fighting it as much as you can, tooth and nail, wherever possible, personally. You know, that's all I can say. Adapt if you have to, if you want to at least be able to keep living your life relatively peacefully, but do not accept it as normal. The minute you start accepting it as an actual normal is when it's a problem. That's the most I can say about it. Fuck the new normal, give me your actual normal back. 15. What are your thoughts on GWA voice actors having Patreons or Ko-fi? Are you planning to make one, or should everyone strive to be like you and have providing an escape as the ultimate goal? I would say every voice actor who does this should have should always come in here with the aspect of just wanting to entertain people and, in essence, maybe explore more about themselves. I would say those should be the two main mindsets that they should have. Entertain people and find out more about yourself, lewd-wise. But I understand not everyone wants to do that for this purpose. A lot of people like to come in here for clout, sadly. There are people who come here just for the clout. But as for having a Patreon or a Ko-fi, I don't begrudge people for having them. I really don't. I personally, though, would not make one. Simply because, again, I came in here with nothing, and I want to leave whenever my time is to decide to leave, or if I ever get banned or whatever, should be for that. I came with nothing, I'll leave with nothing. And you end up seeing it with a lot of voice actors who end up just destroying their entire accounts if they ever come back. They build up from scratch and they have nothing, and then they end up creating another Patreon or whatever. But I don't begrudge people who end up having it, because for some audios, it does take a lot of effort for some of us. It takes quite a lot to create audios with so much, in my case, like there'd be so much immersion. Editing sometimes takes more work than just the recording itself, you know, not even counting possible failed attempts of recording, you know, one, two, or even three attempts. But a lot of the editing is what ends up becoming a lot of the problem when it comes to a lot of audio. So I don't begrudge any voice actor who chooses to open up a Patreon or a Ko-fi. What I would say, though, is a problem to a lot of creators who have premium, I quote, premium content, would be a lot of this other voice actor called ASMR said on a YouTube video is, are you coming here to be part of us, or are you just here for the show? Because if you're here to be part of us, then fine, be with us and be part of what it means to be here. Because there are people who live here and people who genuinely love creating erotic audio for people just because they love creating it. Don't come here just for the sake of clout, just to get your shekels, because that's not the way you do it. And then there's also, of course, for the people who overly promote their stuff. I mean, I get it. I do get it. I don't want to hate on anyone who wants to overtly promote their product, but sometimes you just need to stop shilling and just enjoy the enjoy what you used to do when it came to creating content. To just create it, and just let people enjoy the escape. But people who come here for GWA purposes, they should have within the mindset that they want to provide an escape for people, not just for themselves, but for the audience. That should be a priority within every voice actor, personally, to me, is that you're trying to let people have an escape. So that's my thoughts on it. So I hope that answered all your questions, Kurokam Emil. And you got a lot of questions there. So, thank you. Thank you for the questions. Next questions, Batch, from the Leaf Nommer. Hey, everyone who's listening to this, please say thank you a lot to Leafy, because of she does incredible work on the artwork for my Monster Boy characters, and sometimes even the Monster Girls. So please, please give her the thanks she rightfully deserves whenever you listen to this. Thank you. Thank you, Leafy. I really appreciate everything you've done for this profile, and I'm sure quite a few listeners as well have benefited greatly from your amazing artwork to help visualize the characters. So let's read up Leafy's questions then, shall we? I thought I had nothing to ask anymore, yet here we are. Question 1. What is your favorite Mon Boy, be it one you voiced or made yourself? My favorite ones would be... not in any particular order, but I would definitely say it's, Kidan, because, well, fan favorite. I love playing Kidan, just by, you can see how many audios he's gotten. Gabriel, and, I would say Elwood. I did like playing Elwood. He was fun, with all the issues I had with him. But definitely those three. Those are my favorite Mon Boys. Favorite script I've written so far. My favorite scripts I've written so far would definitely be any of my Asmodeus scripts, but definitely my Dark Souls 3 Firekeeper one, Welcome Home Ashen one, and any of my Kaiju Girls, because I didn't think that something so niche could become that popular. I mean, I knew Dark Souls would get popular because it's Dark Souls. It's kind of hard not to. But for, like, my Kaiju Girls, I honestly was surprised that became so popular. And also just because Asmodeus, I wanted a succubus who didn't want to fucking kill you for Snoo Snoo. And who wouldn't like a sexy succubus to just call you Senpai all the time? 3. All-time favorite script I've filled so far. My all-time favorite script I've filled so far. I would say, that one could very well, I guess you could say that would just be the entire You Give Me Butterflies series and, Beyonce's and Virgo's, Cheerleader series. Those would be my two best, favorite, script series I filled. Those would be my two best ones. Mainly just because, as you can see, the levels of reception the Butterflies series has reached, and also, POV Scribes, Fun With Your Bilingual Boyfriend, because that one seems to have gotten just so many listeners into enjoying, and it's also helped me gain much more confidence in doing bilingual type audios for you all. And also just, it seems to have pushed, I really don't want to toot my own horn if it is just me who's done it, but it's very nice to see how much the sub has become much more enjoyable for people who want more bilingual based audios. Ever since I've done that, I've noticed a lot more influx of bilingual stuff, so it's real nice. 4. What would you consider to be your funniest voice / character? My funniest voice and character is a character I've never even used in an audio yet. It would be what I like to call my $2 hooker voice. My $2 hooker voice, the best way I could put it, it's my impression of Dr. Girlfriend from the Venture Brothers. It would be, okay, let me try to get it.
You boys really need to come over here, otherwise, I swear, we're gonna have problems. Now, you, I want you to take the front hole. And you, I know I've never had a midget in quite a while, but I'm definitely gonna love what I see. The last little guy I was with, he tore me up left and right. I couldn't sit right for over a week. Just prepare yourself, honey. There's gonna be some issues afterwards. No, don't worry. We don't need to worry about that. No, I'm totally clean. I promise you, lads, I'm totally clean.
That would be my, I guess, maybe my funniest voice, that, and it's a $2 whore. A $2 whore voice. It does put a strain on my throat, though. 5. Spill the beans, sweet bean. Where are the ideas for future audios / scripts, and which one is the one you're looking forward to the most? Scripts for now. I'm trying to write more in the Kaiju Girls. Definitely got another Asmodeus script that I wanna write. I'm writing one right now. Sadly, I've been having so much fucking problems with it, especially with all the debacles trying to write it out. I'm trying to finish it up. Hopefully, within the next couple weeks, I can finally finish it. Script wise, audios. Definitely maybe some more with everyone's favorite Monster Boys every now and then. Maybe another one with Kidan. Maybe a few more with Kidan. Maybe another one with Ava. I'm not quite sure. I'm sure a lot of the fans are like, please, 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 we need to find out. Did he ever find Yolka? I'll think about it. There is an idea there for maybe on how to round out Ava. Maybe everybody's favorite Snowboy. Valdi might get another one. You never know. Jormund, there is going to be more Jormund. So those of you who want more of the noodle, please don't fret. There is more Snek coming. And then other scripts, at least I would like to fill, would definitely be a lot more collab stuff. I'd love to do more collabs. 6. What would be an unconventional character type / monster / kaiju you'd still want to create but never found the time to? Very unconventional, I guess, maybe would be a satyr. Yeah, it would be a satyr, because I'm pretty sure I have like a satyr script saved, and I never got around to it, so there's that. 7. Weird question maybe, but would you consider mentoring any potential newcomers? I'd love to. Love to mentor any potential newcomers. Would totally love to. I'm pretty sure I technically have mentored a few people, actually. Not so much mentor, but at least peer pressured into creating audios. So I'm not above it. For basic stuff, hey, I'd love to mentor new people, and if not, I know other creators who probably would love to help others mentor them. So I'm more than willing to help mentor other creators, be they for Monster Boy content or just needing to know how to make content in general. So I'm open to helping people. 8. What is something you wish more people did as a VA? Something that more people wish we did as a VA. Well, for one thing, not attack your audience, at least, from what I've noticed with a lot of mainstream voice actors. A lot of them attack audiences quite a bit. I wish they'd stop doing that and be more fun with their audience. Like, have fun with your audience. Meme with them. Hell, it's why I love voice actors like Mark Meer, the guy who plays Bro Shepard from Mass Effect. The dude loves the fact that he's become a living meme because of Manslayer. You know, report to the ship ASAP. Well, bang, okay? You know, I'd love to do shit like that with people. You know, so have fun with your audience. Know what your audience is there for. Have fun with them. That's what I honestly wish a lot more VAs would do. I mean, I'm sure plenty still do, but it'd be nice to do that more in maybe like more, definitely more podcasts. I'd love to do more podcasts there with priests. So, hey, but definitely more stuff like that. It's always fun. More collab work is what it is. 9. What's the one thing that immediately snatches you out of immersion while listening to audios, and how would one prevent that? Bad audio quality. That's quite honestly the easiest thing that'll break any immersion for anybody trying to enjoy an audio. Just real bad audio quality, really bad background noise. And all I can say for that is find a good place to record that has a lot of ways for you to not have to worry about background noise, and find a good way to record. Either if you don't have a really good microphone, get a good audio recording program, maybe off your phone, a good headset, maybe. There's a lot of workarounds. A lot of people are amazed at the fact that, you know, before I got the new microphone and you can hear my voice a lot clearer, everyone was like, holy crap. When I told them that I did all this with just my phone headset, they're like, holy shit, you did all this with your phone headset? Yep, just my phone headset, and then I edited it into Audacity. You know, so that's the best I can say, but mainly just that bad audio quality and bad background noise really just breaks a lot of immersion for me. Otherwise, I can separate myself relatively easy to enjoy the fantasy. 10. If you were to end up in your own universe by some magical isekai, meaning, and you had to become a monster boy, what would you be? Kidan. Just let me be Kidan, please. I'll gladly be the floof. I'll gladly be the fucking floof. I mean, hey, at least I did be able to play violin again. 11. And finally, because I just have to ask this, we've made Lorcan. Wouldn't that technically be one step away from centaurs? Possibly would be a little bit step away from a centaur, but remember, he still has a normal human dick, so it's not a centaur. It's not a centaur, because Driders and Arachnes still have normal human anatomy where it matters. So, technically not a centaur. 12. Weirdest story you got. Go. Fuck. Weirdest story I got. Weirdest story I got was a story, actually. A client came in, and apparently she worked doing porn, and she then was with her girlfriend at the time, and it was like, Zero, you need to see what you and your dad helped us get this year for our present. I'm like, what? And the client then lifted her shirt up, showing off her tits. And she apparently had gotten implants with the work that me and my dad did for them. And she's like, hey, here, you want to feel? And I'm like, no, thanks. No, thank you. And like the job, I don't know if it's because if it was either just that fresh or she did a bad job, but it looked like Tara Reid's boob job. It was so bad. It was so bad. Like the nipples looked like pepperoni. And oh god, and then my dad comes in and he's like, hey son, maybe we should just double team her. I'm like, oh god. And she's like, oh, I'd be totally up for that. Like, oh god. And then like I tried to deter her, like, oh, you probably wouldn't be up for it. I mean, I'm pretty damn fucking violent, you know, in bed. I like to bite, I like to scratch, I like to choke. He's like, ooh, I like it rough. So I'm like, god damn it. So it was, but yeah, so that I would say that's one of my weirdest stories ever. 13. Lucky number 13. Say I'd want to make fan art. Where the heck do we send it, and would you like some more? Of course I'd love some more. I'd always love more fan art. But if anyone wants to make fan art, if you have maybe a PixIV or a Twitter or even your own Reddit profile, just post it on your Reddit profile, or an Imgur. If you have an Imgur, post it on your Imgur and send me a link via DM. Or if you just want to send me your fan art directly, just send it to my email, zeroomega2100@gmail.com. You can send me your stuff there and just say what your username is on Reddit, so I can at least give you credit for whenever you send me fan art. Any of you who want to make more fan art, please do. I love fan art. I love more fan art, especially if I like it enough that I'd even feature it as the visual for an audio. I totally love that. So please send more. Please send more. Anyone out there who's curious to do more fan art, feel free. And I'd say that's more than enough for now. Back to working on the best boys, monster boys. Well, thank you. Next question's from, oh my god, one of the best girls ever, POV Scribe. Love you, girl. Love your scripts. You're awesome. You're awesome, Scribe. Love you. What spurred you to create your first thing on here, whether audio or script? Relatedly, had you already been writing / performing elsewhere? What spurred me to create my first thing on here? I was lurking for a bit, and then I just noticed that there was a bit of a shortage on demi-human related content for girls. So I realized, why not? I'll make use of some of my own experience. So I remembered a D&D character that I made, my half-angel character, Raziel. So I based an audio with him, and he became my first enjoyable, more or less success with world-building. So I ended up working with that. And as for whether I've been writing / performing, I used to write just as a hobby beforehand, but I've never really performed before that, outside of maybe like amateur, drama club and improv stuff maybe. But Otherwise, no. I've never performed elsewhere before GWA. What do you look forward to after posting a finished work? Mostly the comments, especially either from the writer if it's a script fill, what their review is. But most of the time, it really is a lot of just the feedback comments I get of how much people enjoyed it, whether it was able to give them an escape, how much they love the immersion. The upvotes are always great. It's always great to get an assload of upvotes, but a lot of it, enjoyment, at least for a lot of guys, from what I've noticed when it comes to our audios, upvotes are always nice to have. But what we really want is a lot of more comments for positive feedback, and then, of course, for constructive criticism. So that's what I love the most, whether positive or even just constructive criticism. But I guess since I'm getting bots now, I guess that means I've hit the big time. But that's what I look forward to the most when it comes to my finished work. And then just people overly enjoying the audio. What do you dread the most after posting a finished work? Not doing as well as I figured it would. Best example would be, sadly, every consequential You Give Me Butterflies audio, because the first one just did so amazingly well. I was hoping that quite a few listeners would come back in the same droves and numbers to enjoy the second two, the second and third, especially because of the fact that it's a continuing plot. I love that with scripts. I love script series that have an overarching plot. So I love that about it. And I wish more listeners were willing to show as much support for a continuing series, and it would just be for one-offs. And then, of course, the other thing I dread, of course, is just possible backlash, you know, as any creator would feel like, oh, this audio sucked or whatever. You know, I mean, nobody likes being told that their audio sucked, no matter how much hard work you put into it, or even if it's just a regular ramble fap. Nobody likes that. So that there's always that feeling in the back of your head. You're pretty forthcoming already, but what is one thing or a few things about you that we would enjoy knowing? I really like cuddling after sex. I really like cuddling. So, yeah. I really like cuddling. I love stroking hair. I love making out after a good bang session. So, yeah. And there you go. There's something I guess you'd all would enjoy knowing. I'm a cuddler. I'm a cuddler. And I love eating out. I really love eating out. All right, you know what? No, fuck it. I'll say it. I am a very rare dude in this world who likes girls to not be shaven. I like girls who are unshaved. I like hairy coochies. I like hairy pussies. I'll be honest in what I said. A shaved pussy is nice. I'm not saying don't never shave. If you do it for your own purposes, because hygiene and whatnot, power to you. I'm not going to begrudge that to you. I fully understand. But for me, it's like I like floofy cooch. It gives personality. It's just like the hair on your head. It makes the coochie look more interesting, especially if you maintain it or you style it. Like maybe you cut it in the shape of a heart, or you do funny shapes with like a lightning bolt or something. I like hairy coochies. Hairy coochies are nice. There needs to be more enjoyment for that. I hate that porn is like, oh, everyone's got to be clean shaven. Everybody's got to be clean shaven. You know, so there's something interesting for you all to know. Please tell us one more time your stance on portraying a centaur MB, or doing a centaur monster precarious centaur monster girl. No. No. I'm not doing a goddamn centaur. For God's sake, stop. I'm not doing a fucking centaur. God. But wait, what if you were permanently stranded on an island with a centaur girl and she was super cute? Be honest. If Tom Hanks' logic kicks in, I am not taking any blame for what the dick does. I'm probably at least gonna tell her to suck the dick off. I don't know whether I'll fuck the horse pussy though. But if it happens, I'm just gonna say it was stranded. There were needs that had to be fulfilled. And is that a hickey on your shoulder in the picture? Yes, that is a hickey on my artwork. Those of you as well, this artwork was created by Kurochero Neko through PixIV. So if any of you need more, call her up. She knows how to do that stuff. But yeah. Okay, next. Those are all of POV Scribe's questions. Thank you, Scribe. Next batch of questions. Who is your favorite mangaka? Safe for work and not safe for work. My favorite mangaka, safe for work, Kentaro Miura. Just fucking berserk, man. You can't beat fucking Kentaro Miura. Because that dude, just the way that man draws and just the story of Berserk is just so fucking good. And Kota Hirano, the writer of Hellsing. So for those of you who want some good, badass, vampire, ridiculousness, and drawn amazingly, look up Hellsing. I'm sure plenty of you who are weebs, you already know about Hellsing, so you don't need me to tell you. And not safe for work. My not safe for work mangaka would definitely be Aoi Nagisa. I love fucking Aoi Nagisa. The way they draw black girls. Well, dark-skinned girls, technically. Just... Oh. And then Daigo. I love Daigo as well as a hentai mangaka. They know how to draw. They do a lot of incest stuff, but the way they draw women is just... Oh, God. They draw so fucking good. What's my favorite collab audio I've done so far? Definitely Trigger and Addy. I'm sorry, Kuro. I know your thing is you don't like hearing other girls talk. At least not if they're moaning. But I definitely loved that because that was an incredible work of love that I did. And Flirty Fawn was just absolutely amazing playing the character of Addy. And then after that would definitely be my work with Penguin Denguin. I loved working with Penguin. I really want to do some more work with you, Pengu, so give me a call, dude. We need to do some fucking more. Out of all the mom boys you've created, who are in your top five? Top five, Kidan, Elwood, Toshi, Corvus, and Valdi. Those would be my top five mom boys. Best gal face. Ahe gal, Gesu gal, Toro gal, Kuso gal, or E gal? Toro gal and E gal. Those are my favorite ones. Those are my favorite gals. Best kimono mimi. Kitsunes. If you were transported to another world, isekai style, which world would you want to go? Which one would I want to go? Monster Musume. I'd love to just go to Monster Musume. Just take me to the Monster Musume world, please. I wanna fuck some demi girls, please. Best dere for me would definitely be Tsunderes or Danderes. Definitely Tsunderes, Danderes, and Yanderes. Those are in that order. Favorite and least anime studio. My favorite, sadly, I tend to not remember what their studios are. I guess mainly it would just have to be Studio Madhouse, because they handle a lot of they handled Hellsing pretty damn well, and they do pretty good work. And my least favorite one, I don't know if. Would they just be a dubbing at this point? But my least favorite one, if it's just straight up animation-wise, Studio Ghibli. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of Miyazaki, art-wise. I like his stories most of the time, more or less, but I'm not a fan of the Studio Ghibli art. I don't know what about it is. It just doesn't rub me the right way. Who is best girl of 2020? Best girl of 2020. Damn, who would be best girl of 2020? Best girl of 2020, I would say... fuck it, just because I've been seeing her ass fucking everywhere. Just give me Miruko. Or Mirko, the brown bunny girl from My Hero Academia. I'm not a fan of My Hero Academia, but I am a fan of that fucking bunny girl, even though she is starting to get on my nerves because how much everyone's drawing her. Most personable, laughable moment of 2020. Personal laughable moment of 2020. Uh finding out how many people like me being a yandere, I guess. that would be it. Favorite ecchi tags. My favorite ecchi tags. Cream pie, breeding, impregnation, and GFEs, and of course, Monster Girl. Those are my favorite ecchi tags. Which is worse, Netorer or Ugly Bastards? Oh, fucks. That's like asking me which one do I want, Nut Cancer or Ass Cancer? Fuck. The problem is, a lot of Netorer involves Ugly Bastards, so it's kind of hard to say which one's worse. Fuck. Netorer. I guess Netorer. I'd have to give it to Netorer. Ugly Bastards just slightly get overruled by Netorer. Who is your favorite ambiguously brown animu / mango girl? Safe for work and not safe for work. Safe for work, that would be Jahy-sama. J-A-H-Y. It's this brown cat girl. I'm sure a lot of you have seen her every now and then. She's like this brown-looking cat girl who wears like these straps over her tits and can sometimes look like a loli, but then also she's technically, because she's a demon, she's actually like 1,000-something years old or 500 years old, but she can actually mature herself into a mature form that's hot as hell. Definitely Jahy-sama when she's an adult. When she's an adult! And Yoroichi, because fucking Yoroichi. And Tia Hottie Bell, because Tia fucking Hottie Bell, man. Bleach has a lot of good brown girls. And my favorite not safe for work brown girl, Liliana from Wagaya no Liliana-san, or My Neighbor Liliana-san, drawn by Aoi Nagisa, or Annette-san from the same artist as well, or I think her name is Hilda the Dark Elf. I don't know. I know it's like she's this dark elf character, but like, give me more dark elves. More dark elves, more fucking dark waifus, please. Give me more dark waifus. And those are all the questions from Kurochero Neko. Next question is from Nice Girl 8. Besides the hobbies you've talked about, what are some things that interests you or you enjoy doing just to relax, escape the bullshit? I'll talk about stuff or hobbies that haven't been mentioned. I can't remember which one other than video games and watching TV and reading. Building model kits is definitely one. But one of my favorite hobbies just to escape people is just to go out and just literally sit somewhere and just people watch. I really like to just people watch a lot of the time. And ironically have a conversation with myself. Those are some hobbies I like to just have out of nowhere. And so thank you, Nice Girl 8. Short questions, but I hope those are more than enough. Final questions from Grape_Scent. Congratulations, so happy that you got so much love from your work. And since I am on the side of a new follower, I may have many questions, but I will ask only a couple of something random. One, did you travel before? If yes, then where? If not, then where would you want to travel? Yes, I have traveled before. I've been to Peru. I've been to Cuba a couple times. Don't want to fucking go again. I've been to Spain, and I've been to a few other states. Georgia, Louisiana a couple of times, Vegas, and Ohio. And I would like to go either, even though I have traveled, I still would like to go to Japan. I want to go to Japan. Just for the sake of it. Even if I am an annoying kaijin, I'd love to go there. And two, how many languages do you know and can speak freely, and maybe some languages that you want to learn? Mainly English and mainly Spanish. Those are my main two languages. I used to know some little bit of Italian, because when you know Spanish, you can relatively pick up Italian pretty well. Same with Portuguese. You can sort of pick it out a little bit. So I kind of learned a little bit how to do both. I also used to know French because my dad spoke it a lot. So I kind of picked up a tiny bit, but I've gotten real rusty because who the fuck speaks French? And the languages I would want to learn. Maybe German, just for the lols, that I could learn how to cuss people out in it, and people just think I'm going full da-dun, 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 and of course Japanese for obvious reasons. Yeah, those were the languages I would be that I would definitely like to learn. And maybe Old Norse. I would love to learn Old Norse or Elder Futhark, I think would be one way to say it. But I would definitely love to learn how to speak Old Norse. In advance, I apologize for my English. It's not my native language, so there may be all sorts of mistakes in the text. No, you did good, Grape Scent. You did good. Your English was perfectly fine. So, those are all of the questions. So, well, I guess that's it for everybody. I hope this AMA was more than enlightening for you all, and that you all got to enjoy it. So, thank you so much as well for coming and listening and enjoying my voice for over an hour and a half. So, hey, you got an entire movie of just me talking random shit here in your ears. And not moaning. I mean, if you want, I mean, I could still do that. But yeah, thank you so much, listeners, for being there. Thank you for always coming and just talking shit and being so patient with me when it comes to all the gaps between content. I know wanting more content is always its thing, and I know a few of you veterans are a lot more used to my old pattern of me taking between 3 to 4 days between audios, but sometimes now, you know, especially with how things are nowadays, you gotta wait a lot more. And because also since I'm mainly a one-man team, at least with just for the editing purposes, it does take quite a bit out of me to make an audio, so I do need a lot of time to just want to recover my creative energy to want to make more. And then of course for Mom Boys, gotta wait for Leafy to make more art. But for people though as well, if you feel like you need to support me, please don't support me. If anyone, support the people that are helping me behind me. Support people like Leafy for making such wonderful art for the profile for my Monster Boy audios, please. Anyone who feels they need to give anyone money for any audio I make, please then just give it to Leafy or give it to my friend on Twitter called Aki Spark. Just look up at Aki Spark. He's another artist as well who is a good friend of mine. Commission them for art. Just tell them I recommended him to you. Or again, just give Leafy either just whatever money you feel I deserve for an audio, or just request art for her because she deserves it for her amazing art. Or otherwise, thank you so much, listeners, for coming and enjoying me answering your questions and being a total fucking idiot for an hour and a half. So yeah, thank you. This was Zero, so I am happy to have celebrated the holidays with you. If you're listening to this, happy holidays at the time, and if not, if you're listening to this any other time, I hope you all are doing well. Please be good to each other, and hey, if you have to, get some laughs with your lewds. Everyone deserves a good laugh with their lewd, and just be kind to one another, and just forget the world's craziness, and just enjoy your lewds, alright? The world's crazy enough as it is. Enjoy a good fap, enjoy your lewds. So yeah. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you so much.